Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Cup Live! Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Pete, and Justin!
Everybody, welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime!
I remembered
from last week. Very exciting. Guys, welcome to Comic Book Club. A very exciting show we have here. Normally we have a whole show with comic book reviews and opinions and other things, but we don't have the time.
We don't have time.
We don't have time for that. Because it's too packed. We have too many awesome guests tonight. So I was thinking, what if we did the whole show that we normally do, but in a minute?
Well, I don't know if that's possible. We have so many pithy opinions and smart arguments.
Wait, what would we call it? Do you have a term to call it, Pete?
The micro podcast.
Oh, wow.
All right. Off the top of your head,
and
that's pretty good.
Thus, genre was invented.
Okay, all right. Let's do it real quick. Okay, so hey, everybody, welcome to Comic Book Club. Woo!
Yeah, great.
Okay, good. We already covered
nice,
that. That's good. All
good
right, guys, it's time for our next section, which we like to call the stack. Woo! End of the stack. We talk about some books that came out this week that we particularly like. Pete, what's your pick?
Black Panther number one.
Yeah.
Nice. Great, great. My pick is
Too Slow. Spider-Woman Alpha number one. That's my pick. That's it for the stack. All right. Now it is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. So that we're going to go to you guys. All right. What's your question, sir?
Why?
Okay. Great question. Yeah. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you. All right. Now it's time for the Week of Geek where we talk about stuff happening elsewhere in the world of geek. Let's talk about some TV shows that came out this week. Guys, did you watch Fear the Walking Dead? It was back this week.
Great show.
Okay.
Oh, man,
Supergirl was also
Supergirl,
on.
Really fresh.
Okay.
The Flash.
What'd you think about The Flash?
Yeah.
Gotham was crazy.
Hey, Arrow guys?
That's all the time we have, unfortunately.
Guys, it's time for the next section, which is trivia. For that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
$25. Here you go.
The answer's B.
Yeah, there you go. And that's our show!
Yeah.
Woo! That was close. That actually was a minute. I think that was a minute.
Yeah, I know.
We did it.
Nice work.
I feel like I've eaten a full meal.
I mean satisfied. Oh, okay. All right.
Let's start the real show now.
We should start the real show because our guests tonight are amazing. We're very excited to have them here. They're from Sci-Fi's awesome show, 12 Monkeys, which I hope you're all watching. And if you're not, you're going to start watching it after tonight.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome out Amanda Shewell, Aaron Stanford, and Terry Metalis.
Yeah. Woo! Welcome to the show. Welcome. Thank you so much for showing up. Grab a seat and a microphone. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for coming. Hello. Come on in, please. Sit down. Grab a mic.
Pick a seat. Pick a microphone.
Come on. Sit down.
Get comfy.
Guys.
The music is epic.
It is. If you want to use it for the show, you're welcome.
It's licensable.
We charge a lot of money for it.
That we've stolen from somewhere.
Don't tell anybody that. Guys, thank you so much for coming here. Very exciting. 12 Monkeys Season 2 is starting April 18th. Is that right?
April 18th, 9 o'clock on Sci-Fi.
All right.
Awesome. So soon.
There we go. That's all we needed to know, actually.
Yeah, thank you guys for checking in.
Thank you. Good night.
I want to take it back a little bit before we talk about the second season, and I've seen all of the first season, first 8 episodes of the second season, and they're amazing, but when I've told people about the show, and I'm sure you guys get this a lot, they always say, oh, based on the movie, is it just like the movie? So how did it start? How did you first end up on the project for all three of you guys?
Well, I guess I'll jump in there. I co-created the show with a gentleman named Travis Fickett. We had written another time travel pilot called Splinter, which ended up in the hands of Atlas, who made the original 12 Monkeys movie. And they had been trying to turn 12 Monkeys into a show, but hadn't quite cracked it. And they brought us in, and they said, I'm a massive fan of the original, like a crazy, crazy fan. And so was Travis. And they were like, would you turn this into 12 Monkeys? And we were like, oh, good God, no. We can't do that. It's perfect. And probably, you know, we felt the same way that a lot of fans would feel about a reboot. And then we walked away. Aside from the amazing opportunity of having that name and legacy as part of it, we actually looked at it, and it was like, what an incredible world to open up. And if you could broaden the scope beyond just the plague and deepen these characters and and have new characters, it could be a really great opportunity for a big serialized, gritty time travel show, not in the way that Doctor Who has done, but in a different kind of way, and closer to the Battlestar world. So we got really excited. And then really it came down to how much Terry Gilliam do we put in to the film? Mm. I mean, into the television series. And we just felt like it would be insulting to the original to try and crib that. Mm-hmm. It would be disrespectful. And I think a lot of people turned it on maybe expecting to see that surreal thing, but it seemed like not the right thing for us. We had to be our own thing.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear from you guys as well. Did you have any apprehension coming on the project at first, knowing it was based on the movie, or did you read the script and know, I want in?
Yeah, you know, there's always a little apprehension whenever you reboot something like this, which is, you know, a sacred property to a lot of people. I was a big fan of the movie, and I know Terry from another show that I was on called Nikita.
Oh, yeah.
Great show.
Thanks, Juan, the one guy. we got along really well, and he always wrote for me. And when I heard he was doing 12 Monkeys, I kept pestering him for details just from a fan perspective, and was really, really surprised when he wanted me to come in and read for James Cole, because obviously this is the role that was played by Bruce Willis, so I was not the first person on my own mind.
You don't get Bruce Willis a lot?
Occasionally, yes. and Terry told me, you know, we have a very different vision for this version of it, and we want that to be reflected in the casting. And you can see that with both Amanda and Emily Hampshire, who took over for the Brad Pitt role.
Yeah.
And I think it was a great choice. It was like he said, it gives our show a chance to really stand on its own and be its own thing.
Yeah. Amanda, what about for you? What was it like joining the show?
I too was a fan of the original of the film, but I think that the script, from the pilot script onward, is very different from the film. We have a lot of the original mythology, and then their imaginations go down this rabbit hole, and we have the luxury of time. And so the original first script I knew was on a path of its own. And it is, like Aaron said, intimidating to take on something that people feel passionately about and obviously have very strong opinions about. But none of us at any point ever tried to mimic or to replicate the performances, the characters. The characters they've created are very different from the original characters. And as Aaron said, right down to the casting. But I think it was exciting just based on who this woman was, for me to try to attempt that role, not Madeline Stowe's role, but this role of Dr. Cassandra Raley that they've written.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I mean, I know there was no attempt to mimic, but were you going to shave your head at any point?
I think there was a brief discussion about that, and it was decided that would be a horrible mistake.
Season 5.
Cool.
Well, let's talk about, so you went through season 1, obviously good reaction from it. You got picked up for season 2. What was the thought process going from season 1 to season 2? And we'll get into some specifics in a second, but to me at least, it feels palpably different.
Well, you know, the funny thing about season 2 is so much of it I came up with while writing the finale, because it's difficult to, you know, have that many cliffhangers, and then you can see a lot of shows kind of struggle and be like, okay, so we did that, now what? So we knew there was many, many scenes developed while developing the finale, but it did always feel like it would take a minute for this show to grow. That these characters had to go through that first season. There had to be those betrayals, the character arcs of Cassie and Cole, in order to finally come together. It's almost like first season 1's the prequel to season 2 in a lot of ways. So, but that was always the plan.
Yeah. What about for you guys? How do you feel your characters evolve from season 1 to season 2? I mean, in a certain way, without getting too much into spoilers, it's almost like they switch.
Yeah, there's absolutely an inversion. My character James Cole starts off as this very callous, hardened figure, child of the apocalypse, and you know, he's sent on a suicide mission to assassinate somebody, and he's very willing to do it. Doesn't really value human life, and then he meets this woman who all she wants is to help people, save people, heal people, and he's influenced by her. Learns to love because of her, learns to value human life, and then she, on the other hand, ends up visiting my future and my world and starts coming around to my way of thinking.
coming around. To that old.
Just a little bit.
That's such a typical thinking. Guy thing to say, by the way.
Busted.
Oh, she finally came around.
She got to see the future.
Yeah. Exactly. Come back to my place. I think you'll come around. Come back to my time period.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Time travel, I feel like, makes fans, or like sci-fi fans anyway, super picky. Have you guys encountered just like, actually, I do think that it's more like this. I'm sort of a quantum leap guy, so when do they jump into like other genders?
Yeah, I mean, there's totally some of that, that you do get a lot of that. Twitter, I'm guilty of spending way, way too much time on
Twitter.
You
respond to the...
Yeah, I have to, you know. They'll be like, you know, the other day, someone was like, well, how come the chair doesn't splinter with them? I'm like, well, it's infused with tachyon reflective alloys, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, it.
Tachyon is not, a great. That's sort of a catch all. Tachyons.
Tachyon, buddy.
Tachyon.
Tachyons. That's my excuse for everything.
Yeah. Just tell them they're reversing the ray and they'll understand.
Exactly. Thank you for reversing the very next generation way of saying it.
Yeah. Have you guys gotten any particularly picky fans talking to you about time travel or any points when you're on set where you're like, I don't know what
I deflect to Terry. When anything comes my way, I just will deflect, but I appreciate the tachyon.
Yeah, use that one.
Yeah. Phrase, yeah. All that's going to go into my vocabulary very soon.
They just always want to know how the hell we keep up with everything. Just always like, aren't you confused? we're really confused.
Hey, so, do you have must some sort be of too. Script you read from at all? Or you just don't make it up?
So as an actor, maybe this is getting a little too technical, but as an actor for you guys, you're playing these characters in totally different time periods of their lives. So how do you keep that all straight when you're approaching a scene? I guess for you in particular, there's a lot of stuff in the first season where you're playing Cassie from slightly in the future, Cassie from slightly in the past.
Right, and we have wonderful people who help us keep the line straight, but Terry and Aaron know that I have a very meticulous notebook that I keep, and I bring it with me to set. And, you know,
it's like Connery's Grail Diary. It's wow, really very, with maps and...
But I am picky about that. Terry's wonderful about me being able to reach out to him at any point and saying, what exactly has happened? I need to be able to fill in the blanks just for my own homework. I mean, not even if it's not seen on screen, I need to know what's transpired during these 2 years just to have it under my skin a little bit. Yeah. And he knows. This is his imagination. This is his mythology that he's created. He's very willing to give me little tidbits, whether he just makes them up on the fly, I'm not sure.
I don't know. His Twitter works suggests that he's sort of a...
Tachyon.
Yeah, I'm gonna know now when he just retorts tachyon. With tachyon that, yeah, he's not dotting all I's. But, yeah, no, I mean, he has 5 seasons planned out in his imagination, in his head.
Wow.
So he has these ideas. He has these responses locked and loaded when we come to him with questions.
Is there one time travel? If you have so much mythology built up for it, that must, so much time jumping, loops, paradoxes, all that. Is there one time travel thing or trope that you don't want to touch? That you're like, I don't want to do... That whole
no,
thing.
We do them, and I think you've seen episode 8, which we do a familiar gag, but we also make it our own.
Yeah, they jump into another gender.
Smart.
Yeah, totally.
I don't want to spoil it for a number of seasons.
I would have guessed.
Good way to do it.
He jump into women, a monkey one time.
Only Breaking Bad had thought of that.
Yeah. I saw somebody, this is a total side, but I saw somebody point out online that Mr. Robot has no robots and you guys have no monkeys on your show.
Yes, it's true.
Are we ever going to see any monkeys on the show?
Have we seen?
Yes.
We hear them.
No, we're sorry.
Oh, yeah. Monkey, saving the monkeys.
Just a moment,
can
please.
You can have what's going on with you guys?
You know, as a comic book, I mean, we have comic books on our show, so we're covered in this argument at all times.
In the first season.
No.
Season one, Peters. Yeah, there's some dead monkeys.
Not real PETA.
No, we killed
real
them.
Dead monkeys.
We took them out.
Choked out some tiny.
I'm very detailed.
Yeah, you killed a monkey for friends, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
For fun.
This is a slippery slope.
Well, that's terrible. Poor Marcel.
Poor Marcel. Yeah.
I mean, because we could tell if we were watching the show, if you know, they were, oh, those aren't real dead monkeys. So he took the time to really.
He can spot a dead monkey.
I cannot wait for the hate. Emails to come. We did not kill monkeys.
Yeah. We were being we joked about this a little bit, but your transformation in particular in season two, you go, again, without getting into spoilers, stop me if I'm spoiling at all, but you go from a doctor who does no harm to you totally skip the training montage and become a badass in the future who kicks ass. What was the training like for that?
I got a little fight training and some weapons training, which was a lot of fun.
Dangerously fun.
Yeah, dangerously fun. I got to work with a trainer on a lot of martial arts and boxing and that sort of thing, and they were wonderful. The stunt team was wonderful enough that between scenes, between setups, they would put my little pink boxing gloves on, and I got to hit stuff. Which
between scenes, you were like, can I just punch someone for a while? And they were like, yeah, me.
Yeah, actually, yes. almost verbatim. Wow. I would say, can I hit stuff? And they'd go, yeah, you can hit stuff. And so I'd go get my gloves on, and I'd literally just hit stuff. Wow. There was a little bit of technique involved in it. But not. I do have some scars on my knuckles. Aaron finds this incredibly funny.
It's terrible. She destroyed her hands. Her first round with the heavy bag, she just put everything she had into it, all the heart she had, and just beat the hell out of this bag, and her hands were pulp afterwards. She came into work the next day with just like streaming blood.
Did you not tape them or something?
Some things were taped. I also may have been hitting it in the wrong place.
Okay.
In the razor blades.
With the wrong... I was hitting it in the razor blade section of the bag.
You don't want to do that.
Well, but I also didn't admit to it. So I don't want anybody else to take blame. I didn't admit to it because I thought this is just how it's supposed to happen. Yeah. So I just kept going.
You're like, this is part of the
process.
This
is part of the... Yeah, no, this is my learning curve.
I've seen movies. Boxers bleed.
Yeah.
Aaron, I mean, part of that is you don't have to carry all of the action scenes at this point. And I think it started to get this way at the end of season one, but very much in season two, it becomes more of an ensemble drama. How's that feel for you?
I love it. And, you know, she does, her character carries more of the action in this season for sure. And does it very well. But I love that. That's one of my favorite things about season two is, you do see so much more of these great characters that were developed in the first season, and the relationships go further. They explore, the backstories further. And I think it enriches the whole thing.
Yeah. I gotta say, I was really blown away by the difference between one and two as far as the season was concerned, but also, like, you become so invested in the characters and you like so much about them that sometimes when they change, you're like, oh, come on. But I think it was done in such an interesting way that you were like, yeah, this is cool. I also really thought...
If you want to put that on the poster.
Yeah.
I want to watch the show with you.
I also really thought it was beautiful. Like, a lot of the... just the coloring and everything that you guys are using is really amazing.
We have a really talented... two very talented directors of photography who are award-winning. We have great production design and great score. You know, so we're very lucky to have an amazing creative team that are all really invested. You know, they all get these scripts and they're like, what? Are you serious? And so that helps, I think, when it really makes more of a cohesive team when creatively you're on the same page.
But it's got to be like a designer's dream where it's like, now we're going to do a period piece. Now it's the future where you can make weird choices. Like that's
and designers from every department, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Wardrobe, hair, makeup. They get to do homework in these different eras that they never necessarily thought that they would be able to dabble in. I mean, it's every single department gets to play.
What about for you guys as actors? Is there a certain time period you're like, I want to go there and be there?
Well, we do a bunch in season two now. We have a lot more fun with the time travel machine. we get to go to the 40s, which Cole really enjoys. He investigates cocktail culture.
Smart.
Deeply.
Yeah.
We go to the 70s, which was super fun. We got to drive around in like Serpico cop cars and wear pleather jackets and stuff. Yeah, it was a ton of fun.
So you're just writing your dream scenes.
I'll be honest with you. I really am. I mean, it is, to be able to do a 70s cop drama kind of thing. But still in the world of our show, you know, and not hopefully not jump the shark, NATO. But just to make sure it's to be able to do that is a blast. And, you know, this cast... really fortunate. If I do nothing else right, I cast a pretty good show, and these guys have been amazing partners and really invested in the show. And Emily and Todd and Kirk and Barbara Succo plays Jones and our guest guys. I got to call out Brian Quinn and James Murray who are here, who are two guests on our show. We have a really talented group of people on this show that bring these guys to life.
Have you ever thought about writing to a really jumping to a crazy time period like 2013?
It is. 2013 is pretty crazy.
You know, is it wild? Yeah, I think people would really respond to that. Where were you
in 2013?
Yeah. It would just put up a mirror to society, is what
yeah,
it would do.
Exactly.
That would be amazing. You were getting mad at me on Twitter, and we talked about this a little bit backstage because
we're
painting a really bad picture of you on Twitter on this show. I apologize about that.
You did? Was it me? Are you sure it was me?
He's been trolling you for years.
Yeah.
Before 12 Monkeys.
So I was saying,
went and got this job just so that one day.
This has been a long con.
Nailed it.
I'm sorry. That's a really slow burn for this.
I don't think it was worth it for you.
So I was saying that season two is crazy because it breaks the show every single week.
I was like, breaks the show. What do you mean? Yeah, yeah.
To explain that and to explain what I meant by that is there is basically no status quo every episode. That by the end of each episode, it feels like in season two, it's utterly changed what's going on in the show. That's got to be terrifying as a writer, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure it's terrifying for
you guys.
it is terrifying. It's also, it's thrilling.
You guys are writers, right?
We do, we get to play in a lot of genres in time travel, too. I mean, you know, it's a romance, but we play in a lot of horror. We play a lot of adventure. It's pretty epic in scope. So it's each episode does have its own identity. It was very much like that last season, I think, too. And that's, I think, in the DNA of the show, too. Be a bit different. The stakes change quickly.
But is it also, sorry, now I'm going to take your job, but is it also liberating in a way? Because it doesn't have to be fit into this formula. It is.
I mean, it is scary. There was a couple times this season I was like, I'm not sure if this one's going to work. But by the time everybody got done with it, we got in the post, we were like, holy, we were able to do, we do a Monster in the Dark episode, which in our temporal facility, and it is where the time machine is not doing well, and it's bringing in other things from other time streams, and that sounds cool. Now I'm talking about it, I was worried about where there's a big high concept. You've seen it that in the thing, and it totally worked. And actually, doing no small part to these two, who really, again, anytime you're doing time travel, horror, or anything, you have to connect to these characters emotionally, or else you're just not going to care. Mm-hmm. And that's what these guys do really, really well.
Well, what's it like for you guys then coming in every week to work not knowing actually what your show is going to be? I imagine there's a certain level of comfort coming into a procedural and knowing, okay, we're going to hit the same beats every week, but here you're going into a horror movie, you're going into a comedy movie, you're going into a different thing every week. So what's that like for you guys?
Everybody I know on procedurals are like basically ready to commit suicide. I think it becomes a horrible grind after a while to do the same thing day in and day out. For me, it's a gift. I think it's great to be able to switch it up, do something different every time you come in.
Sorry, I think that's someone would die and then they would do that as a rip from the headline story. Actor bored to death. Solve that murder on Law & Order.
This is a comic book show. We promised we wouldn't really talk about comic books too much, but this season in particular feels very comic book influenced to me. There's a lot of it. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything in particular we can talk about.
Well,
influences. I don't want to spoil anything.
Influences.
Maybe. Have you read Crisis on Infinite Earths?
I haven't.
Okay.
And I know my friend has Brian's judging.
That's cool. It's cool, guys.
Guys, be cool. Be cool.
Is that kind of a thing or?
We'll talk about it.
Look, I love it.
This isn't for them. This is for us.
Right. No. There's a lot of different influences, for the show. Some video games. The Last of Us was at least aesthetically was a big important thing. But I mean, certainly we will talk a lot about it. Is this going to be our Killing Joke episode? Is this going to be, sort of iconic images we'll pull from all sorts of places, whether it be an anime or a comic book. So
was there anything in season one like that in particular you could call out?
Yes, I will say this and I'll get kind of slammed for it, but the old Jennifer Goins in the future. In the first season, her aesthetic was influenced by the manga Akira. Older. She had this very big sort of Asian hat on. Everybody referred to it as the Raiden hat because it looked like Raiden from Mortal Kombat. there are times when that happens quite a bit, yeah.
Since this is a comic book show, I think we'd be remiss not to ask you, Aaron. you were Pyro in the X-Men movies.
Long ago.
What's it like to wield fire in your hands?
What is it like?
Yeah, what's it like? What does it feel like?
Yeah, you did all those no CGI, right?
Right. Yeah, you could actually do that, right?
It feels embarrassing. Is what it feels like. When
you're there to stand in front of the crew being like, and there's nothing coming out.
Yeah, they actually issued a bunch. I remember when I liked the first series of like on-set photographs, still photographs where they were taking, they asked me to pose in different, very dramatic ways, holding, cupping the fire.
Cupping the fire.
That is a memoir.
The title of her.
I felt silly doing it, and I just want to make sure, guys, there's definitely going to be fire in my hand.
Add the fire.
When these actually go out, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, like the first series of publicity shots that they sent out, there was no fire. They forgot to put the fire in, and I looked like an idiot.
Great. People were like, what is he cupping?
Yes.
What is he cupping?
What's in his hands? Like, I don't know.
Reveal.
Oh, he's Cup Hands, the famous mutant Cup Hands.
Cup Hands, deadly.
Yeah.
Great at a party.
Other than that, is an experience where you would want to come back at some point for the series, or are you done with it?
What, to play Pyro again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's fun. It was a great time. And I got to, work with, like, Ian McKellen, which was a complete dream. I had grown up one of the few VHS cassettes that I had in my home, so that tells you how old I am, was Ian McKellen's Richard III, which I watched and over and over again. So there was
what boy doesn't grow up?
Richard McKellen. That's the answer we knew you were going to say.
So of course I'd do it. Yeah, I loved it. I don't think it's going to happen. Sorry.
No. It's all right. You just broke Pete's heart, specifically. Yeah.
Big pyro.
You'll be all right, Pete.
Hopefully.
Yeah, good.
There'll be other things.
Before we move over to some questions from this awesome audience, I just want to ask you guys, tease one thing coming up in the season that you can't actually talk about, that you can't wait for people to see. We'll start with Terry. Or Aaron.
I thought we were starting with Terry. I was.
It's weird, they both look at you, Aaron.
Yeah. What can we tease? I mean, like I said before, the time trial element, it's a lot more fun this year. A lot more jumping around.
Yeah.
The last three episodes are mind-blowing.
That's a good tease.
I will say, and you know, with great confidence, I can say they're pretty extraordinary in all aspects of this production, as far as what we were able to accomplish and put on screen, and the performances and the story, and it's the payoff to a lot of questions the audience is going to have about the mythology, and there's some pretty amazing performances. So I'm really excited to... There's a couple of nights I'm looking forward to being on Twitter and watching that live thing come in with the what thing happening.
People be like, well, do the pens time travel, or do they not? The pens in the hand, in the pockets?
And Amanda, for you?
I second what Terry said, but I know that's a cop-out answer. I'd say that something to look forward to for people watching who are familiar with the characters and their evolution and their growth are the alliances that are made in the second season that might not be expected. I think that was a lot of fun for us to be able to play with, and hopefully it'll translate.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Okay, guys, so we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come out to you guys. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
Hey, more music.
There's the music.
We did it. We have some prizes for people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's how it works. I'm sure you only have questions for these guys. That's all good.
We're available.
What? We're available if you have any questions about 12 Monkeys or otherwise. We've seen some of the show. But if you ask a question, most of you are going to get some free comics and posters from modhero.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, very cool. So raise your hand. I will come over to you. You, sir, that was the first hand that I saw. This mic. Okay, you can stretch that far. Excellent. What's your name? What's your question, sir?
My name is Jordan, and I was wondering, not including either 12 Monkeys, what is the best time travel story in any medium?
Ooh.
Wow. Best time travel story.
I mean, for me, I think Back to the Future, the original movie, is the...
Yeah! Great answer.
I don't see how you can get better than guy goes back in time and has to get his parents to fall in love and the DeLorean time machine. So I for me, that's probably the one.
Is there any thought to having James Cole on a skateboard, like hanging off a manure truck anything like that? Just for one episode.
Don't think he hasn't considered it.
When you were talking about the trope earlier, I thought you meant like the picture and the guitar and then people slowly disappear. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll happen. Yeah, we're on the air long enough, anything's happen.
And why they would take a picture of an empty forest where the kids weren't after they had vanished.
Tachyons.
See? Boom. That's what it is. And why they had Biff shining their car even though he was like a monster.
A rapist. Yeah.
Doesn't make a ton of sense, but it works for the film.
Stop attacking the movie, Justin.
Yeah, what? No, that's a hated movie. I think we can finally come out against it.
Amanda, what about you?
Oh, gosh. I don't know whether I have an adequate answer for that. I did love Back to the Future. I used to love watching Quantum Leap, and I know that sort of silly.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer.
That last episode was one of the best last episodes of TV of all time.
Yeah, they worked it out.
Yeah, they went to that bar.
Yeah, they were. There was a mine.
I like anything said at a bar. Last episode of Quantum Leap, Cheers, two favorite things.
I think it's the same bar when you think about it.
Is it?
Sam Malone never returned home. Wait, that's not the that's the other one.
Aaron, do you have a favorite time travel?
I'd say, honestly, the original time travel story, the H.G. Wells, The Time Machine, is astonishing.
Got it going.
Like this idea that he time travels to a future where like the economic divide between rich and poor has somehow split humanity off into these two different paths of evolution with people living underground and people living above ground. I think it's a pretty great piece.
Yeah.
I was curious, this is something I wanted to ask you earlier. Why is it that every post-apocalypse tale has people being like, and immediately we're putting on old-timey clothes and we're breaking into clans? What's up with that?
We're breaking into what?
Breaking into clans. Like, as soon as the world ends, everybody's like, well, I'm done with these clothes, put on these old clothes.
No, I think their clothes get old and become bowler hats and ties.
Oh, okay. That's
true.
If your T-shirt will age and become a jacket with a little...
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about in the writer's room, and is realistically, if 7 billion people were to die today, or most of the population of the planet, there'd be plenty of clothes. They're everywhere, in fact. You can go in any store, you can wear new underwear for the rest of your life.
That's what we were talking about.
We were like, do we try that? And we're like, no, we can't do that.
Well, that's why I think it's fucked up on Walking Dead. Change your clothes. Put on nicer clothes. They look so filthy.
We talked about that when we were shooting the pilot in Detroit in the dead of winter, and everyone was wearing futuristic rags, and we were freezing. And we just like Terry's argument. We said, There's warehouses full of Gore-Tex everywhere, man. Like, no one's using them.
There's plenty of guns.
Where's the North Face?
Plenty of booze. Plenty of everything.
Lot of booze. So many iPhones.
Amazing. Great question. We can take another question. You, ma'am, over there. I'm going to see if I can stretch my mic. Careful. I can't. Wait. Here.
There's a
person. Hi, I'm Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Maria is one of our vocal fans online.
Nice. Thank you. I had a question that really applies to all of you in one way or another. Everyone's got backstory. I mean, as a writer, you might have some facts that exist in your mind, even if they're never going to get on screen. And actors often keep something going on in their mind, even if, again, it may not be canon, but it works for you to develop your character. Do you have anything like that? Terry, do you have something
for
the other two that they don't know about? And do you two
We were actually talking about Cassie's past last night at dinner that's going to play an important role in the future. Certainly for Emily Hampshire, she needs to know the day-by-day diary of what Jennifer Goins has gone through. And I think it really helps, you know. Same thing with Cole too. I think anytime you can offer, you know, any kind of history that might, you know, evoke an emotion or a feeling for an actor, I think they would really appreciate knowing that instead of me saying, you know, 6 months later, oh, by the way, you watched your parents gunned to death. Yeah, that might have dictated how they would have played things differently. So,
yeah.
I can tell you that in the pilot episode, when James Cole takes Dr. Rayleigh hostage, he proves to her that he knows her, and he rattles off a list of facts about her life, which were incredibly informative for me creating the character. I had a whole laundry list of things that had happened to her that I was able to then provide my own backstory and my own journey, you know, for this person, which dictates the way she behaves and how she would react in a certain situation. And that was all just on the page. Whether they, you know, knew or not that they were giving me this gift, it was very, very helpful.
Yeah, no, there's a specific thing that happened with Cassie and her mother that we talked about in the pilot but have not gone to yet, which we're going to revisit, hopefully. Yeah. This is season 3.
Cool.
Are there any fan things or things that you guys have come up with that absolutely 100% never will happen on the show, ever?
That's a weird question.
Well, something like...
Fan things we've come up with?
Anything you, as fans of the show,
have come up with. Oh, yes. There is a theory. I don't want to say it out loud because I think it's fun to sit there and think. You know, I try not to. Every once in a while, I will, but... you know, fans have, you know, they ask a lot about Cole's mom. You know, there's a mystery about that. They ask a lot about Jennifer's mom, and it's easy to make a connection. I can right now say yay or nay about something like that, but I think it's fun for them to talk about and to dream about, and that's important.
Wait, a connection like maybe they have the same mom?
That is a fan theory.
So they have a whole Luke Leia thing going on?
I mean, it's a fan theory.
All right.
Yeah.
That's now exactly what
it worked out for the Skywalker family. Or maybe not. Not really.
It's a little creepy.
Actually, it worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you've seen the movies, but... they had their things.
Cool. Great question. You're going to get some free comics and a poster. Let's take another question from the crowd. Absolutely. Anybody. Anything. Wait, I can't see. Oh, you have a hand right over there. Okay. Cool. All right. Let's see if we can stretch this. I'm really good with mics. All right. Stretching up. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, my name is Mike. Nice job, everyone. Has Terry Gilliam been involved at all? Has he given any...
He has not. No.
Okay.
No. David and Janet Peoples, the original writers... signed off. Chris Marker, who made La Jete, had to sign off. You know, Madeline Stowe has been very. But no, Terry has not been a part of it.
But at the same time, you guys have done plenty of shout outs to the movie, particularly in the first season.
There's we do. Yeah, good eye if you or good ear too. Yeah.
Well, there was the J.D. Peoples.
J.D. Peoples, yeah, the mental institution named after it, and there's lots of bits of dialogue and things and nods we do quite often.
Yeah, have you at this point? Was that all first season? Did you run through all those references, or are there stuff?
There's more this season.
Even down to wardrobe. I mean, people who are fans of the movie will notice little Easter eggs that are dropped throughout the entire season. You know, dialogue names. You know, all sorts of things. Even down to if you have a good eye, you'll see some wardrobe choices
and a good ear. Cool. If you listen to some music this season, I think you'll be surprised at one point.
There you go.
Some wardrobe. Yeah, I was gonna. That's a good. That's
did
a good
the
one.
Movie 12 Monkeys exist in the world of the show 12 Monkeys?
No.
Okay.
No.
What about?
That'd be a weird end if there was. I mean, we casually. Yeah, no.
What about? Did Brad Pitt exist?
I mean, look, if Brad wants to do the show, we'll talk about it. I guess. No. I don't think. I think they're very, very, very different.
This is another thing that I've actually heard from a lot of people that I've told that I've been watching the show, and they say, oh, does it end the same way as the movie? Meaning, is it going to be circular? I'm sure that's something you want to spoil right now.
Hey, no, but yeah.
Is that something, do you feel...
Spoil all five seasons.
Well, I guess I'm curious. Do you feel like, no, forget about that. We're totally moving away from that. We're going in an entirely different direction.
It's the question of the show is, can time change? Is this all fate? Is this all one big loop? Is this a bunch of little loops on a giant monster loop through time? So that the question of the great cycle is part of the show. Can time be changed? We've said yes, it can, but we've also seen that it's very, very difficult. So I wouldn't comment just yet about the ending. I know exactly how it ends to the last moment. There's only a couple people who do. So there's an ending we are definitely going to.
Is it Jose's son pulls out a snow globe?
Right. And it's all,
and they're all inside.
Yeah, it's all staying elsewhere. It's all, yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Very cool.
I think we can take another.
Always
staying elsewhere.
Ref.
Or Cheers. Both great shows. Let's take another question for the crowd. Absolutely anybody, raise your hand. Oh, yeah, you, sir, all the way in the back, you raised your hand. Yeah. Come on up. Come on up, or come on down. Either way, what's your name and what's your question?
Hi, my name is Jason.
Jason.
I wanted to know if you could have the show time jump into a different show, like as a fun episode, which show
crossover
would it be? Yeah.
Ooh. Famous crossover. Oh, well, oh.
Anytime.
Well, now it's just
great question. The Shield on FX.
The Shield.
I love that. Actually, this season we have Jay Carnes from The Shield who played Dutch on a couple times. I'm just thinking now. I'm just riffing on my favorite shows. You're Battlestar Galactica.
Shows I like.
Game Battlestar. Of Thrones. Yeah. How fun
I was
would that
say,
be?
Does that count as alternate universe?
No, it's my
answer. Seems really dangerous.
Yeah, I
wouldn't go there.
Ride around a dragon.
Right. There you
just
go.
Pop on a dragon.
We have dragons this season. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
Nice. I'm excited Westworld too.
Yeah,
cool. The show doesn't exist yet, but I'm excited to see it, and I would like to jump into it.
Excellent.
Once it exists.
Watching nice. It. Yeah. Is
watching. That's a sneaky way to find out what these people like in their own time, I think. What are you fans of?
Yeah. We were actually talking about this a little bit before the show. You guys reuse cast members from a lot of different shows. I mean, clearly Nikita, there's a bunch of folks on there from that. I was noticing there's a ton of Orphan Black folks as well.
That's Toronto, yeah.
Yeah.
And we shoot up in Toronto. After a while, you're using the Nikita and the Orphan Black.
It's a small casting pool up there. Yeah.
There are only like six actors up there. So the actors moved to Toronto, famous. Instant fame.
I mean, maybe you just answer this, but if you could have, like, dream cast shows up, they're totally different characters, they're a group in the post-apocalypse, they show up on the show, what cast would you guys steal for one episode?
What cast or what actor?
What cast?
Full cast?
Full cast.
Wow, that's tricky. Hill Street Blues. What year are we living in? Speaking of time travel, all these shows are from the mid-90s or earlier that we've talked about.
Alf?
Yeah!
That's an answer.
Yeah.
I think he'd be really good at
that.
That would explain
why there's no cats, right?
No cats. Yeah. There's no cats. And it's like the future's not that bad. Yeah. I don't like cats. They're all right. Yes, everyone. I met a cat that was like a dog one time. It was really cute. I don't take it back. Wait, this guy, how do we get the cats?
Yeah. What about you guys?
What cast would you rather?
So it's basically the same question, right? Just like what TV show?
It's a little bit different. You would jump into that TV show. So like you'd jump into Game of Thrones versus the Game of Thrones cast would show up and be like, yeah, we're a gang. We're going to take you down.
I have a really good sense of your show. Or friends.
Yeah.
What would happen if the Sopranos jumped into our show? I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I feel like I'm sticking with my answer. Game of Thrones cast. Come and try to tough it out in the apocalypse.
They're terrifying.
Who would you take out first?
Oh.
So many good jokes. I can't.
Yeah. And yeah.
Like it, what?
Insert. Sidebar.
She challenged you. It's a duel.
Cool. Matt, don't say it. I think it's better you don't say it.
You know where I'm going
with
this.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You got some free comics. Very quick, we don't have any more prize packs, but does anybody have any questions? Real quick, super lightning round, any questions at all? No?
One more
question. Right. Oh, wait, all right, we have one more question from over here. Okay, wait, you got to stretch over. Come on, here. Tell you what, you whisper your question to me, and then I'll repeat it in the mic. Okay, what are you currently reading?
Aaron, why don't you start? We were talking about this last night at dinner.
A couple of shows that maybe they are getting attention, but for me they flew under the radar. This great BBC show, BBC Netflix show called Happy Valley.
Oh yeah,
which is like really
super depressing.
It's much darker and grittier than the promos would lead you to believe.
Yeah,
and
it's surprisingly
and the title as well. It is an ironic title.
It is not happy.
I was really blown away by it.
Yeah,
so I'm watching that right now.
Manda, what about you?
I am watching House of Cards.
That's a good answer.
Why am I degrading all of my answers?
House of Cards is really good this season.
This season's really, really good.
But I feel like that's probably a good portion of all Netflix subscribers are watching House of Cards right now. I don't feel like that's a particularly innovative answer. I feel like I'm in the majority. I just started reading 11/22/63 because I want to watch the Hulu show. And so I thought I would read the book before. It's a long one. So we'll see when I do get to the series.
Very meticulous research to watch the show.
It's a great book, though. You're going to love it.
So many. Penny Dreadful. I love Penny Dreadful.
Oh, nice.
Bloodline. I love Bloodline.
Bloodline. I'm watching Bloodline. Okay. I finished Bloodline.
11/22/63. The Path. I'm actually going back and watching all Battlestar again. Just sort of in awe of what they're able to do and just in love with Edward James Olmos and Mary McDonnell. And just like,
maybe you could watch all of it up right up to the end and then...
Yeah, well,
and then not watch that part again.
Well, I mean that's a tricky place to you watch what's come before and really figure out. But there's nothing better. That show is just extraordinary. And
do you feel
good.
Like other than the movie 12 Monkeys, is Battlestar the thing that's most influential to the show?
No, I take a lot of inspiration. Harry Potter is actually hugely. Sounds strange. Hugely influential in the show in the way that how she unpacked that mythology about Voldemort how connected it all was to Harry on a personal level is very much a really good lesson to look at for things like The Witness, for instance, our big bad. And how the mythology is laid out is she really nailed it. I think she really, I mean...
I'm sure I'm not the first person to say that Harry Potter's really good, that she really stuck the landing, too, in that ending.
That definitely explains, and this is getting a little bit into spoiler territory, but I noticed that in the second season, everybody gets sorted into wizarding houses.
Yeah,
that's
totally normal. Like, that's a pretty big spoiler.
We were planning on that for years.
Sorry, guys.
That's the ending you're talking about.
That's where I'm going. Yeah. You guys got it.
Excellent. Cool. Thank you for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. We're going to move it over to Pete LePage for trivia.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thanks so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a Midtown Comics gift card. Who would like $25 free? Yes, you. First hand up, guy.
All right. Nice.
Come on
down. Come
on up.
Come on over here.
Yeah, stay right over here.
He's
here.
Had the mic cord in his face David. So much. So I think
all right. What is your name, sir?
David.
David, audience. Audience, David.
Nice.
All right, so today's trivia is on 12 Monkeys. So great. As long as you've seen every episode,
yeah, it is
fine.
A weird.
We are
coincidence.
Doing a podcast you know, on 12 Monkeys.
Every week it's 12 Monkeys.
So listen to the question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. Here we go.
Can we help him? Are we allowed to?
No cheating. No cheating.
There's no cheating on this show when it comes to trivia.
Yeah. You'll see why in a moment. The original inspiration for 12 Monkeys is based on blank. Is it A, a short film, B, a graphic novel, or C, Curious George? So it's either A, a short film, or it's B, a graphic novel.
I'm going to go with A.
A is nice. Correct. Nice job.
Great job.
Mini spoiler here in this next question. Okay, in season one, episode two, we learn the cool name of the secret lab. Is it A, the invisible departure, B, the night room, or is it C, Dexter's lab? So it's either A, don't pick A, or it's B, which is the correct answer.
I want to pick C, but it's B.
B is correct.
Yay,
correct.
B.
Here we go. Last one. What year is Cole from? Is it 2043, A? Or is it B, 8094? Or is it C, Mystery Science Theater 3000? So it's either A. Or it's B.
A.
Nice.
A is correct. $25.
Great.
Congratulations. There you go. There you go, $25, Richard.
Take that, I'll shake your hand.
Great.
Congratulations.
The year
all right, guys.
8,000.
Great trivia questions, Pete. Great trivia questions. Before we go, real quick, let's plug the show one more time. When's it on?
You can catch up right now on Hulu. Season one is on Hulu. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. I think they're going to be doing another marathon on Sci-Fi. And then we premiere April 18th, 9 p.m. on Sci-Fi.
Awesome. Very cool. And definitely, I've checked it out, and it's awesome. And
Thank you.
Definitely watch season one, but season two is so far beyond. It's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you.
It moves fast. It's so good. It moves so quickly.
It's rare that we all agree on a show.
We don't ever agree on that.
Not
just in front of you guys because you're here.
Well, thank you for... Yeah, I mean, look, we know you have other choices of television to watch. We appreciate it.
There are other shows?
Yeah, we have to catch you up on a lot of other
stuff. I stopped with Cheers.
Yeah, I know that. All right. We all know that.
It's a good one to stop at.
Yeah, it's a good one. A couple of other things before we go. Next week on the show, George O'Connor, author of the best-selling Olympian series, is going to be here, which is awesome.
Cool.
He's fantastic, so we're excited to have him here. Also, Pete, anything you want to mention?
Yes, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live, Tachyons.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, it is a free show, but if you are here in the audience, it does cost us a little bit of money to put on. Feel free to throw some money in the hat, or if you're listening online, you can throw it in our virtual hat, gofundme.com/comicbookclublive. There's a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Terry for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
Amanda! Aaron! We want to thank our fabulous intern team, Bell Tumber, Derek Craig, Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7:30 in New York, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thanks,
everybody! Thanks for coming out!